This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January the 9th, 2009. Soybeans put an impressive day in Friday and are up more than $2 since early December. Will Monday's USDA reports lend an upward hand or crush the market? We'll ask that question and many more today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Top Third's Mark Gold. Our panelists in studio today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Here's the way the market settled for the week. March wheat futures, a 646 and a quarter settlement price on the high side, a low at 596 and a quarter. And a settlement up 18.5 cents for the March wheat at $6.29.5. July futures settled in the wheat pit at 6.53 1/4 from Chicago for the soft red, up 18.75. March corn this week had a high of $4.29, a low at $4.02, and a settlement price a penny and a quarter lower at $4.10 3/4. December, 4.54 1/4 settlement price, down 2 cents from last Friday. January futures in the bean pit, a 10.40 1/4 high, a low at 9.60. A settlement price there at 10.37 1/2, up 67.5 cents from last week. In November beans, $10.29 1/2, settled 26 cents higher. March oats at 2.30 were up 18 on the week. Live cattle futures finished the February contract with a high on the week at $89.10, a low at $82.85, a settlement price at $4 lower, $83.10 for the Feb live cattle. January feeders at $94.10 were down $1.50, and the lean hog settled the February contract at $62.45, a $1.40 lower, with a high of $64.90 and a low at $62.10.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. The pre-trade estimates suggest demand for U.S. beans, Jackie Vakes, will eat a bigger hole in the crop than previously thought. Given the state of the world economy, how do you explain this increase?
Well, I think there are a couple different ways you can look at it. China demand certainly is number one. We're starting to see bigger and bigger shipments going back to China. We're seeing a jump in the Baltic freight rate. That tells us that money's starting to move across the world. And I think probably one of the other issues, even though we hear talk all the time about the American dollar going higher, our exchange situation is still very conducive to good demand for beans.
Pete Manhart?
Well, I think the China buying is a big part of it, and I think then the number that they're going to put on it for production is probably going to be lower. So that will tighten up the supplies and push the beans higher nearby.
And Dan Zwicker.
Well, one of the main reasons why we've been able to sell beans in the world market and the reason exports are equal to what they were a year ago is that we've been the only one that's actually been willing to sell soybeans into the world market. Argentina farmers are holding tight with a lot of their old crop inventories. So the beans that have been sold into the market were a lot of beans that were sold by U.S. farmers a year ago or a year in advance that the commercial grain trade took possession of this fall after harvest. And basically now at some point in time here, we're going to have some new inventories come into the marketplace, or otherwise our demand will probably begin to fall off.
Monday morning, USDA will release a series of reports. They included the final crop production numbers for the year, the quarterly grain stocks report, the winter wheat seedings report, and of course the ending stocks report, which we sort of discussed at this point. Soybeans, average trade guess now is at $186 million for the carryover. It was at $205 from USDA in December. on trade, as we talked about, is thinking that it will be much lower. On the corn side, USDA estimate is at 1.474 billion on the carry out. The average trade guess is pretty close at 1.489. What makes the corn so much different than the soybeans in the way the trade's thinking about it?
Well, corn, you got a couple main factors that's going to probably weaken demand, and I guess my expectations would be see some upward revision and carry out in corn would be export sales are only half of what they were a year ago, and ethanol grind continues to come in much slower than what the trade was looking at 2, 3, 4, 5 months ago. So there is room for USDA to bring down the export number. There's room for them to bring down the grind number for ethanol. So whether or not they'll do it on this report, I don't know. But something's got to happen pretty quick, or otherwise we're going to see that corn ending stocks number climb.
And the other thing would be on the food usage. You know, one of the biggest usages we have is livestock feed, and chicken sets are down. Other numbers are down. They continue to go down. So that one would also possibly be lowered. So all three phases, lower usage.
And then, Jackie, if you take a look at the final crop production number, USDA's number in November was a 12.02 billion bushel crop. Average trade guess around this time is 11.982 billion. Are you that low?
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm at 12 million, or 12 billion. I mean, so I'm right there, yes. I think that nobody really has a good handle on how many acres we really had on the corn, and this should give us our first, our first real good look at it. But, you know, I think another thing that when you look at the corn just in general, it's a circumstance where everybody feels like everything's falling apart, no matter how you look at it, and that we've lost all of our demand. And I think it's going to take a balance in the economy to be able to bring it back to where it was. It's probably not going back up to $8. I don't believe that at this point in time. But I do believe that there's more demand for corn than what people perceive at this point.
What does it tell you about the coming year crop and how many acres might be needed?
Might be needed?
Right.
Well, I would think we'd probably be in excess of where we were last year, maybe in the 87 billion or somewhere in that neighborhood.
But is everybody in agreement that corn acres need to go up from this year from last year in order to meet demand?
No.
No.
Oh, we always agree, Dan.
I think we need to stay.
Well,
about
before we're jumping here, let's see what USDA comes up with for final number. Mm-hmm. I've been through enough January 1 crop estimates that I know that there's usually a surprise, or it can often be a surprise. So
right.
I think we need to see where we're at. But unless demand picks up in the spot market, I mean, and I don't see that happening yet, with a carryout up against 2 billion bushels, we planted, 85 last year, we could probably lose 2 or 3 million in the market, not be too worried, provided summer weather is favorable.
Well, one of the things, I guess, when I talk about needing more acres is I'm probably much more optimistic on the ethanol side than most people are, from the standpoint that the Obama administration is certainly behind ethanol all the way. The USDA has already cranked us down 1.3 billion bushels over what they thought the usage was going to be. And so if we do come in and they do support ethanol the way they're talking, I think that we could have the extra demand that we're maybe not counting on right now.
So corn settled this week at 4.10¾. When it got above $4 and when cash prices approached that area, many farmers really decided to let some loose. Do you think that was an okay idea?
I think as you see corn cash around 4, that's to unload some to get some more cash. Farmers from between now and the 1st of March, are an awful lot of them are going to need money to pay those taxes off of the big crop that they had. So I think $4 cash corn isn't a bad place to add to cash sales.
Well, a mandated sale of some sort is one thing, but just to go ahead and make additional sales on the cash side because you think it's a good price, is that the same sort of thing for you?
You know, I think we've got a chance to go higher, but I think we also have an equal chance to go lower here. So I think to make an additional sale is a good idea.
Dan?
Well, I can't emphasize that the vacuum that is underneath the corn market, this demand is awfully, awfully weak. And corn has kind of gone up on short covering after a very bearish October, November. We've had a lot of short covering. If you look at open interest levels, we've had this price rise and we've had very little increase in open interest. Export demand has not picked up. You saw more plant closings of ethanol here today. So I can't emphasize that unless demand picks up, all of a sudden the bottom's going to fall out of this corn market. So I do think farmers need to look at ways to take advantage of winter price strength here, either through cash forward sales or through put purchases and whatnot, and see how things play out. There's a lot of air underneath this corn market.
So a $4 cash sale in your mind was okay?
Yeah.
Jack? Well, I have no problem with making a $4 cash sale. What I might look at is replacing it with a call. You know, and just in case, because you really don't know where this market might go. The one thing none of us know is where we are, is where we're at a fair value, or did we come this far because of all the other economic things that have gone around, you know, in the background? And so I think that's the question that's in a lot of traders' minds.
Well, if you look at the last month after December 5th to now, corn has come up. Tried to make a high at 23, tried to make a high at 26, made a high at 29. Every time it's fallen right back below 4. Unless we can get through that, I think when we get up into those 420 and above areas, we should be making either puts or cash sales.
Now, from a raw price action point of view, I have to be friendly corn. But I think if some of these upside targets of 450 on the futures, 470 on the futures, and maybe even $5 on the futures is met, it's going to have to come through an uplift from the soybean complex going to $12, $13.
And can that happen? We've rallied, what, 220, 230 since the beginning of December at this point, right?
The soybean situation is right now is dependent upon what USDA comes out with come Monday morning. Again, you know, we do have a full moon on Sunday, so I expect Monday morning to have the cages rattle. there's going to be some noise Monday morning. The natives are going to be restless. So, but South America has really been pinched real hard. And if they don't get some pretty good rains into some of those drier areas fairly quick, you're going to see a significant drawdown in South American production prospects, and I think you're going to see a surge in soybean prices.
All right. So let me talk just about a bit about something, because on Friday we rallied more than 40 cents in the soybeans, but only 4 cents in the corn. Is this what you're seeing in the marketplace, that you've really got to get beans to go and corn just has, as Dan says, a vacuum underneath it?
And beans didn't make a new high in new crop, only in the old crop.
Well, what does it tell everybody? So at this point, $4 cash sales on corn, everybody is in agreement, was probably an okay thing to do, even if it was not a mandated sale, right?
Right.
What are we doing with beans? There have been a lot of beans that have started to move. Are we holding off or going across the board?
Well, each farmer has to evaluate their own risk situation. Right. This market is in there's no real confidence in this market. No one really has a lot of confidence. I expect this market to be quite jumpy, quite skittish. It's going to be a herd mentality in and out of this market fairly quickly. So I do think farmers need to take a look at current day prices and use additional strength in here through January to kind of get their house in order, because I am not very friendly for the month of February.
That would be a bad deal for farmers, especially for crop insurance setting.
It creates opportunities.
Wasn't earlier in the week, though, didn't we have fund buying across the grains floor earlier in the week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been fund buying on and off all the time. And so, no, go ahead.
We also had fun selling one day. We were down 26 on beans.
Right. Basically, you know, what we're doing so much of right now is trading a range and trying to build a floor. If you look at the corn market's really built quite a nice floor, up, sideways, you know. So it's got some support in it. Beans have been a lot more bouncy. But then again, you know, the trading range on beans, 35, 40 cents in a day isn't unusual. I think one of the things that Dan talked about when he said February insurance, or you said February insurance, that's going to be a key to corn acres too. You know, where that price ends up in February for insurance will determine a lot.
All right. So one last question before we take a break. Would you make additional soybean sales at this time?
If I were going to, well, I would, I'd put puts in place.
I would do both. If a 40-cent, 50-cent move up today, I'd sell another 10%, or I would buy puts.
Dan?
I'm in the cash is king, so I'm in the camp that you need to turn inventories to cash. And if you want to participate in upside participation, you know, you can use the option market for that.
In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Mark Gold of Top Third Agri-Marketing.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. We enjoyed moderate January weather for the most part this first full week of January. Temperatures were 1 to 2 degrees above normal this week, but it was the precipitation that caused problems. Two weather systems moving through the Midwest early this week brought freezing rain, freezing drizzle, snow, and fog to parts of Illinois. Although precipitation amounts were very light, it doesn't take much freezing drizzle or rain to turn roads into skating rinks. Most of the problems occurred overnight and during the early morning hours when temperatures remained below freezing. Weather conditions improved on Thursday as the last system pulled away and high pressure built into the Midwest. Illinois residents will be bracing for what could be the coldest outbreak of the season so far. The first push of cold air, a minor one, will move through Illinois this weekend. The next disturbance will move through Illinois on Tuesday, followed by a surge of Arctic air that will be accompanied by strong northwest winds and will combine to produce wind chill readings well below zero. Actual air temperatures the last half of next week could remain in the single digits to teens, with overnight lows below zero. Some snow is possible on Monday and again Wednesday as these disturbances cross through Illinois. The bottom line, bundle up, it's going to be cold. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January the 9th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group from Decatur, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Our guest this week is a former 20-year member of the Chicago Board of Trade and a graduate of the University of Illinois College of Aces. Mark Gold is also the managing partner at Top Third Ag Marketing. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Nice to be here, Todd.
Has the market, do you think, begun to shake off the weight of the economic turmoils of the world economy yet? And I'm trying to get a feel for how things are in Chicago.
Well, you know, for the past several months as we went through this big break in the grains, it was fairly much tied to the crude oil prices. Crude oil went from $144 down to $33 a barrel, and the grains went with it. Now, the interesting thing is, since we've had this rally in the grains in the last month and 6 weeks, the crude oil continues to be incredibly weak, but the grains have been able to rally. So we have divorced ourselves somewhat from that crude oil mentality. And if you go back over the last 20 years, there have been plenty of times we've had bull markets in the grains with crude well under $30 a barrel. So, you know, people that just want to, every time, you know, crude oil is down $2 on an opening, they expect the beans to be down. I mean, today was a great example. Beans opened up higher, crude oil was down $2, and we rallied the beans 25 cents right out of the box. So I think we're starting to divorce ourselves from some of that. But I think one of the key economic factors that people really aren't paying much attention to is the potential inflation in these markets. If you look at the M1 numbers, we have just, that chart has gone absolutely vertical with the money supply. And that tells me we're printing money like mad, and ultimately inflation is going to be the thing. Now, how is that going to play out into the grain markets? I believe people are going to want some tangible assets, among them grains and metals.
Well, Mark, I got a question on the connection between crude and corn. I mean, doesn't it simply make sense that once crude goes below $50, $40, that it unhooks anyway? And wouldn't it make sense that if we were to put crude back at $60, that it would hook back up?
Well, you know, I think we need to see crude at this point somewhere over, you know, $75, $80 a barrel for it really to have a major impact. I think crude between, you know, $35 and $75, it's not going to run the grain markets like it has. For several months, we were trading grains basis, you know, the crude oil fundamentals. Now I believe we're going to go back to trading the grain fundamentals in the grain market, and I think that's a good thing long term.
Well, and when you talk about the M1 and you talk about the debt and printing money, ultimately that should also lead to pressure on the American dollar, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm very bearish on the U.S. dollar. We got up to 85 cents during the week. We broke a couple of cents. If we get a couple of solid closes under 79 cents on that dollar, I'd hate to tell you where the next level of support is, but it's considerably lower. Again, that should help our export market. The corn and wheat certainly need the push from a cheaper dollar. But, you know, when you look at the freight rates around the world, the dollar I don't think is the key factor in here right now. I just think when you look at these corn markets, the question was asked earlier, corn is only up 4 cents on Friday with the beans up 48. What's the story there? You know, I believe that the report on Monday could show more corn production than people are looking for. And when you look at worldwide supplies, you look at the demand side of the market, I think it was Dan that was saying earlier that, you know, corn could have a big hole in this bottom, you know, if the bottom falls out of this thing, and I couldn't agree more. So I think people have to be very careful with this corn market here. We need to keep the nearby March contract over $4 to maintain any support. We start closing back under $4 now after the report on Monday. It'd be a major red flag, and certainly I'd be willing to make some more cash sales.
On these cash sales, would you just do them now, or would you wait and see if it's going to hold above that four?
Well, you know, I look at where we've come in, you know, a matter of 4 or 5 weeks here, $2.50 on new crop beans, $1 more on new crop corn. There's nothing wrong with selling $4.50 corn and $10 beans out here. You know, I believe people are jaded from what happened in 2008 with $16 beans and $8 corn. And I don't believe, you know, in 1973 we had $12.90 beans, and it took us 25 years to get back there. It may take us another 20 years to get back to $16 beans and $8 corn. These prices historically are great prices, and we've been long sold out of corn on old crop corn. We sold half of our new crop back in July when the prices were exorbitant. But even, you know, for our new clients now, we're certainly telling them they should have 25% sold of their guaranteed bushels on 09 corn and beans here. We think it's a great opportunity, and we'd have puts on to protect the balance of it.
Mark, this is Dan here. How are you reading the psychology in Chicago and the volume and the interest from any outside money activity?
Well, you know, the index funds, in my opinion, are virtually dead. You know, we've done a lot of damage in terms of liquidation. That was certainly played out in the fall. And now some of these new rules where the index funds or the non-commercials won't be able to take delivery and have the receipts on this grain is another death knell, in my opinion, for the index funds. Commodity funds have never taken delivery of commodities where these index funds seem to want to play the game. So we're seeing money certainly in this market in terms of commodity fund, more of the traditional money, but that old index fund type buying, that steamroller effect that we saw in 2007 and 2008, I believe it's a dead issue for the time being.
Mark, one of the things that, you know, the term that's being bantered around a lot is contango. You know, when you're talking about crude oil, where they're actually hiring tankers, super tankers, putting oil out in the ocean, sitting on it and waiting, figuring the futures are going to be more, going to go higher than what the immediate supply cost will be to them. Do you think there's anything like that going on in the grains, that you have people who actually believe that grains could go higher and they're trying to acquire them?
No, I really don't. I don't see that in terms of, you know, real money flow into this, where, you know, individual fund groups are actually trying to get long cash commodities. They've tried that game before. I don't believe it's been very successful for them. What we do see is a lot of spreading going on and deliveries in terms of some of the commodities. And, you know, you can make 3% and 4% on your money. So we're seeing a fair amount of that being done. But I don't see people just saying, you know, like hoarding gold. Are they going to put away soybean receipts in their vault? We really don't see that. I think there's much better ways to play it, whether it's options or futures, if that's what your game is. But we really don't see the money flowing into the real cash, as you're putting it. I don't see that.
Getting back to those index funds, they still have a large position on from the old long time ago of both corn and beans. Do you see them wanting to get out of that and roll out of that?
I believe at some point they're going to want to. You know, they've gotten so beat up. There's just been so much bloodlet in Wall Street that if they can recuperate some of their money, I believe they're going to be much more likely to be sellers on rallies than they are buyers on breaks. So, you know, can they clean up some of these old positions on rallies? Yeah, and I think that'll be another thing. You know, we've heard all kinds of, you know, wild estimates on where these markets can go after last year. And I really believe that last year was a one-shot aberration in these markets. And I believe it's going to be hard for the American farmer to get that out of his mind and to take a look at, you know, $10, $11, $12 beans, $4.50, $5.50 corn. And for some reason, they're not going to think those are great prices. They are great prices. We've had the input costs come down dramatically. Look at fertilizer. Some seed sales have come down. Certainly chemicals have come down. The one thing that really hasn't come down is cash rents, but I believe that'll be adjusted very quickly. So, you know, are guys profitable at $4 and $5 corn? You bet. Are they profitable at $10 beans? You bet. And not to take advantage of this kind of rally in a grain market caused by, you know, some fears of dryness in Argentina, I think would be a mistake. Now, when you make these cash sales, would I be buying call options? As a risk manager, would I buy back call options in case we go significantly higher? You bet. Nothing wrong with selling $10 beans, spending 40 cents for a call option. Stay in the game. You've got 960 locked in, and you still have the opportunity to higher prices if they come.
Mark, one final question for you, and I think I'd like to pull the rest of the panel on this one as well as we close out the program. How do you feel the ethanol industry will fare in the coming year?
Well, about two years ago, I made the comment that the ethanol industry was in for a big surprise and that I thought we'd see a lot of ownership shift hands at somewhere, you know, 30 cents on the dollar. And I think we've gone through the worst of it for the time being. I think the ethanol long-term is a great proposition. I think the guys that got in it late are hurting, but the guys that, you know, have been able to pick up some bargains out there, I think are going to be well situated for the future.
And thank you very much, Mark, for joining us today. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Mark Gold is with Top Third Ag Marketing. And the same question for our panel of analysts. We'll start with Dan Zwicker. How will ethanol fare in 2009?
It's going to struggle. There's some things that's going to have to happen before we see any major pickup in ethanol demand.
Pete Manhart?
I think it's going to struggle also. I think long-term it will get better, but I think getting a higher percentage, getting 10% in any state totally instead of 0 to 10 in that pump is the big thing now.
And Jackie Banks.
Well, I think it'll struggle if we remain at this level on crude oil. I think if crude oil takes a hike and gets higher, we'll probably see, just like we did before, more blending of ethanol beyond what the mandate is.
Thanks to our panel of analysts, Jackie Vakes of the Stewart Peterson Group, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and to our guest, Mark Gold of Top Third Ag Marketing. That's this January the 9th edition of Commodity Week. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.